Welcome to the Ether. Today is Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. Today's episode of the Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus is dedicated to providing artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the best place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Find your next favorite artists on talus.art. Also, be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Terra Spaces would like to thank Talus for their support. Today on the Ether, we have the Bloomer Life Space, stablecoins, staking, protocols, reflections, and looping. Episode 3. Let's take a listen.
I love tonight's topic, man. Just to get into stable coins, the yields, the staking of like on the exchanges, off the exchanges, get into protocols like Anchor a little bit, tell people what reflections are. And then if we have time, get into looping. But if we have less than 50 people, we'll cut it in an hour. If we have more people, we'll go. But I love the topic tonight. Let the room fill up. And then Lucky, what do you think about NFTs next week? Really break down NFTs finally. What do you think?
I have no problem explaining them, but I do not own any of them.
You know, what's funny. I don't own any either. And I think that's the point. I think that's an important point. Hang on one sec, guys. We're almost there. We'll let the room open up for another 2 minutes and then we will kick this thing off. All right. All right. There we go. Big T, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just playing Family Nurse.
I got you. Yeah, man. Cool, cool, cool.
You guys are the only things that keep me sane.
It is. I hear you. I give you credit, though. You're on these things all the time, man. Good for you.
Yeah, I just leave them running and listening, chime in when I can.
Man, this is one of my favorite spaces of the week, though. Like, I just think the crypto space is so exciting. The math is so amazing. The technology advancements, the efficiency with the money, it's just amazing. All right. So Big T, what do? I tell everybody to tweet out the space that we got this thing going. Is that what I'm supposed to do at 3 minutes in?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody, if you can, at the bottom of your screen, there'll be the, or actually it's at the top of your screen now. They moved it. So at the top of your screen, there's going to be like a half circle, or it looks like a half square with an arrow pointing up. If you click that, you can share the link. So please do that so we can get as many people as possible in here. I'm assuming there's going to be a really large crowd tonight. I was pumping this thing up all morning long when I was talking about, the space. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be really good. So, yeah, I'm excited.
This is a fun one. Oh, yeah. This is a great topic. Hell, you know, yeah. I know you've been spending a lot of time on it. I know you're doing really well with the passive income and stuff too. So, all right, 2 more minutes and then we'll get this thing going. All right.
Yeah, we could do that. I'm in no rush, so whatever tonight is what it is.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we're getting there, though. We're at 20 now, 19.
Yeah, everybody, right. Share the space. Come on.
20.
Big T, though, we'll do. We got the alpha. We need the people.
Big T, though, we're going to do. All right, we're not starting the room until it's at 30, guys.
Perfect.
I feel bad being that guy, but hey.
No, that's fine.
I'm just, hang on.
A little trickling.
And Lucky, you know what I was thinking too, like just to get into the differences of like directional staking and, you know, staking with directional risk and not, and staking with the stables. I think that's a huge difference, right? I was on a Spaces last night and, you know, these guys were, you know, they were equity guys and they just wanted to know, you know, well, you know, what percentage do you think should be crypto? And there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But in reality, like crypto can do a lot of things that stocks can do, crypto can do. You know, it's not that simple, right? I mean, we're going to show you tonight how you can, you know, use stable coins and staking and protocols for passive income. And in a lot of ways, it's better than dividends. Okay. And then we're going to show you just how to be efficient with kind of what's going on in crypto and DeFi. So I am super pumped, man. All right. So, you know, let's get into it, I guess, right? Everybody ready? All right. Stablecoins is an interesting area, right? Because, you know, they're, let's just say, like, they're pegged to the US dollar, right? And of course, everybody knows Bitcoin and everybody knows Ethereum, and you have your altcoins and, you know, you have your risk. But what's happening in DeFi with the stablecoins is, and just the yields on the exchanges as well. I mean, you have a chance now to stake your coins on your exchanges, to stake them away from the exchanges and capture more yield. And it's just a better way to be efficient with your crypto risk, right? So using stable coins and staking, you can now capture yield without being long the market, right? You're pegged to the US dollar. The way we're going to teach you tonight will be the safer way to do it. And we're going to teach you the lower risk ways to do it, just to make sure you're being efficient with whatever crypto you hold. And you can go full degen, and, you know, we have our fun with degen, and you can, you know, you can loop it later, but we're not going to promote that as much tonight, but we will explain it for sure, because there is a loan borrow aspect to the ecosystem. And I think everybody would just be better off knowing that. So Big T, why don't you take us through what VJX does with some of the bigger coins and the rewards, just so they can get an idea of what happens on a centralized platform, right? Is that cool?
Yeah. So we'll go over the stable coins and staking portion. So essentially what Voyager does, and this is what your traditional banks do. So I want you to understand that when we talk about this, this is something that banks have been doing forever, and they just don't want you to know about this because you've been willing to accept a small interest rate, you know, on your money. So essentially what a exchange does is they'll take money that you deposit on their platform. They'll lend it out to a market maker. They'll charge that market maker a premium for your money that they're borrowing. And then that market maker will make what's called high frequency trades, and they'll make a profit. They'll return that surcharge that the Voyager or Coinbase or whatever exchange is asking for. And then they actually return you a portion of that profit. So that's how staking works. Like, that's the functionality behind it. Now, what Voyager does is they offer it on, there's 36 different assets. So if you hold assets on their platform, and most other places is the same thing, they'll actually pay you in the coin that you staked up until a certain amount, which will be called like a maximum or a minimum. And as long as you hold that on the platform, you will get paid the staking interest. So essentially, it's a really, really efficient way to utilize money to make money. Because you're letting them essentially borrow your asset and lend it out, and they're paying you for it. So it's money that you really never had before, but you're forfeiting the right to custodian your own crypto. So there is risk involved with that. But, you know, the risk versus reward.
Now, of these 36 coins, and not all of them are stable coins, right? Some of them are your Bitcoin, your Ethereum, and some of the other stuff, right?
Yeah. So they're, I mean, the number one thing that they offer as far as stable coins is USDC. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that they offer any other stable coins as far as interest, and I could be wrong.
That's fine. It's just a concept. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. But they do offer all different kinds of interest rates in regards to your Bitcoin, Ethereum, and they vary. Mm-hmm. A lot of that staking and things that, you know, go on with Voyager is based on the demand that the market has to borrow these assets. Right. So the staking on these assets will actually fluctuate with market conditions. So essentially, as a network grows and it gets bigger and it expands, the more people that funnel into that, the returns actually get smaller over a prolonged period of time. So we've seen that on some of the assets on Voyager right now. And we're pretty lucky that the USDC has stayed the same, but it's all based on market conditions and how much people want to borrow.
Appreciate you. That's a great example. Who else does the staking, Big T? So like Coinbase does it, Celsius does it, like all the major exchanges kind of do it, right?
Right. And I do want to touch base on that too a little bit further. Mm-hmm. You know, sure. all these places do allow staking, but the common problem that we're having right now, and you've seen this just recently across the crypto sector, is a lot of companies are getting, you know, slapped on the wrist for the way that they're lending things. So essentially, the SEC came out and said, "Hey, you guys are you know, selling securities." And that you guys need to cancel your lend program. So if anybody in here remembers just recently, Coinbase tried to launch their Coinbase Earn program. And because they're not a brokerage like Voyager is, they're not allowed to do that. So you're going to see a lot more of these businesses try to go to a brokerage model. I don't know what that's going to look like for the space, but I do know that the SEC is really looking at stablecoins. We're going to have some clarity this year. So once again, there is some risk involved. But it's a great way to make money on your money.
Great job. And I am pro VJX just because of the ecosystem and because of your community, for the record. I like the way you guys are positioned as a broker dealer. You have to put the client's interest first. And where some of the centralized exchanges, there's no prudent man rule. So that's kind of important. So Lucky, if I could borrow your expertise on staking outside of a centralized exchange, more into the DeFi world, please. And Baroness, I did invite you up to speak if you want. I don't know if you saw that. You might be driving, which is cool.
Yeah, that's fine. Did you want me to go a little in depth with stablecoin, or do we feel like we're good on stablecoin?
You can please take it away, man. I want you to fill in whatever you can. And I'm going to pretend like, I mean, I know a lot of this stuff, but I'm going to pretend like I don't understand it either, just to make sure like all the questions get answered and stuff. But yeah, some stable coins, you know, some, you know, why would you want to stake outside of a centralized exchange, you know, that type of stuff. And then no looping. We're going to save protocols and reflections for a little bit later. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I think what most people don't know is a stable coin is pegged to some other underlying asset. And I think that's super important to understand. And it's typically a one-to-one. So, you know, probably one of the most ones that we've talked about is obviously USDC. And USDC is by a corporation, I think, called Center, which is also a partner with Coinbase. So essentially how it works is every dollar that comes into the crypto space, there is a bank, just let's imagine a bank that's also holding another dollar, right? So it's a one-for-one. And that's why we typically say staking a stable coin is risk adverse because of that peg to a dollar. And we talk about multiple stable coins when we're in these sessions. So you'll hear us talk about USDC, you'll hear us talk about Tether, you'll hear us talk about UST, which is the US Terra one. And they're all backed or have a little bit of different flavor to them. The UST one we'll get to in a little bit, but that's the one that I would say a lot of us in the community like to focus on a little more because it's truly decentralized, where the USDC, like I said, is a one-for-one. So as you bring your money on Coinbase or other platforms, there's typically a reserve behind it. So when it gets to staking and you find rewards like a 9% on Voyager, like we've discussed, the value there is we like to on-ramp individuals that maybe don't have a lot of dollars or that just have money sitting in their savings that can make income or passive income off of that. Where it gets a little different is when you start hearing staking for coins, right, or tokens. Now, you know, you typically hear us say, oh, Voyager has a 4% staking for ETH or Bitcoin or the other coins that provide, I think there's 36 assets that they provide yield on. It's liquid staking, meaning you can pool it at any time. That's one option for staking. Or there's sometimes called lock staking, where you're actually locking up your token or coin for a time being, which also provides a yield off of. Where it's different than that stable coin, if you recall it being always pegged to a dollar or should be pegged, better yet, as you look at the chart, there are times when it will depeg, but it typically repegs. The difference is that staking, you will get rewards in, but the valuation of that token or coin can be appreciating or depreciating during that time. So where some people get, I don't want to say fooled, but get excited, is that they might see something that's like 100 APY or APR on staking. And what it comes down to is that, yes, you are getting that token or coin back in the staking, but is the valuation holding up to when you staked it, right? So that's a big one to think about.
Yeah, so, let's come back to the bigger APYs later. Let's just talk about like the stables. Like, why would somebody want to take their stables and go off a centralized exchange more into the DeFi? Like, why would that be worth it, if you don't mind? And I'm sorry, I hope I'm not being rude. You know, I love you.
Why would someone want to take stables and go off a DeFi? So there are other platforms outside of decentralized exchanges that can offer a greater reward than the 9%. And we typically talk about that US Terra, UST as an example. That's probably the biggest why. And one, it takes some knowledge of how to move crypto. So that's where you start getting into the decentralized space. And that's something that I think we continue to want to teach people is like, yes, the on-ramp is a centralized exchange like your Coinbase or your Voyager. But once you move off that, there are other options that we bring up that you can stake stables and make a decent return on your stable coins.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. So you have the ecosystem of Voyager, you know, you have your Bitcoin and your Ethereum that you may feel comfortable leaving on an exchange. You may potentially want to take your, you know, your Bitcoin, your Ethereum, and your larger positions, depending on the value, off the exchanges and putting them into cold storage, making sure they're secure. Tonight's conversation is about the passive income, for the most part, that is stablecoin related or to a certain degree savings account related. You don't have the directional risk as much if you were long in L1 or some of these other coins, and you decide that you want to capture more yield than what's available on a platform, right? But you have to be careful because DeFi is very manual. So you may find a better staking opportunity, maybe 2 or 3 percentage points better, but you need to figure out for yourself if you're ready. And sometimes it's just great to have it in a nice clean ecosystem where they're being good custodians, and maybe you're early on your journey, you don't want to rush. So I just wanted to clarify that point. So
yeah, and I don't want to make it all peaches and cream.
No, we're going to get into it though.
I definitely want to talk about the downsides of staking your stable coins. And mm-hmm. I would say there's probably 3 that come to my mind.
Okay.
There's always the risk of a security breach, such as a hack based off of where you're at. Now, that's why we do like to cover security a lot and how secure certain exchanges are, or when you're in the decentralized space, what that could mean. There are obviously depegging, like I discussed. You can depeg off the dollar. Now, that's where you want to do your research in which stable coin you are in and really understanding how much it's depegged. So I would tell all you guys at some point, pull up a chart of USDT, USDC, UST, and just look at how it varies off the dollar and how fast it depegs or pegs. And then the last one I would say, probably not as big, but some protocols require you to have a minimum. And so if you're not meeting that minimum, you won't get that yield. But those are probably the 3 that I would say come up to my mind that are a little bit of downsides of truly staking stable coins.
Thank you. And we're happy to have Baroness up there. Guys, do us a favor. If you're liking the room so far, flash some emojis for us so we know we're going. If you're loving the room, tell your friends. Let's get this thing going. So Big T, give us a little example of like the passive income side real quick, like just on the exchange, like being on Voyager. I know you're doing fairly well with the referrals and you know, I know you're getting a nice little passive monthly, and I don't mean to say little I'm not making fun of middle. I think it's great. I think it's efficient. I think it's got financial literacy benefits to it. Give me that. And then when we're done with that, we'll take some quick questions. And then we're going to get into the anchor protocol, which is something I'm a big fan of. Is that cool, Big T?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for allowing me to speak on this. So, Voyager has a token. It's called VGX. And essentially what VGX does, and this goes directly in staking. When I stake my VGX, if I hold certain levels of this, I'm enrolled into what's called a utility program. It's called the Voyager Loyalty Program. And essentially what that does, by me staking my crypto, I get certain benefits that unlocks the full potential of the platform. So on a very basic level, those benefits that I get are, I get added interest boosters on my Bitcoin, Ethereum, and USDC. I get crypto cash back on trades. So anytime I facilitate a trade on the buy or the sell, I get paid a portion of the spread back to me. So that, once again, staking, you know, it all starts with this. And then on top of that, I get a 7% staking reward for those tokens that I staked, which is a 7%. And then there'll be a debit card that I'll be able to utilize. And every time I make a purchase, no matter where I purchase something at, I'll receive up to 3% cash back on that purchase. And that's including, you know, my mortgage, my utility bills, my car bill, whatever it is. So essentially there's all alternative benefits to staking your crypto. You know, the downside to it is exactly what Lucky said. You know, essentially I'm having to lock it up. So even though I'm not locking it up and I don't have to lock it up on Voyager, I'm forfeiting that to be able to gain these benefits. So it's something that, you know, work is very lucrative for me because, you know, anytime I get a referral bonus, like Bloomer was saying, I get a $25 reward in Bitcoin and I get a $10 bonus in VGX token. So it's very lucrative, but because I'm staking my crypto, I'm able to earn all these different revenues of passive income.
So I bring this up because their model is where I think a lot of the exchange models are going to go. They want to be like Apple, and they want to keep you in their ecosystem, and they want you to, you know, kind of house your crypto there to a certain degree, or at least, you know, treat it like a checking account, a banking account, and make sure, you know, the passive kicks out and they're happy because they have the positions to lend out. And it's... You know, stocks have done this forever. You know, when I worked at the banks, you know, we had a huge stock loan, stock borrow. So this is nothing new. That traditional finance has been doing this for years. So credit to the crypto people. And don't kid yourself. A lot of the Wall Street people have gone into crypto. And there's always going to be a big lending and borrowing capacity to it. Lucky, I have a quick question for you. Baroness, let me know if you can talk too. I know you're driving though. Reflections, Mr. Luciano. VGX has a component of reflections, doesn't it?
No, it just pays.
Pays in cash?
I mean, it pays a yield. I mean, it pays back.
Yeah.
Not really reflections.
Yeah.
Okay, so help us
define reflections. It's not what I consider reflections. Let's
put okay, good. Well, I'm happy to be wrong because I like being wrong, actually, and I like being wrong to the right people. My understanding was that if you held a token that paid you back in more token, that's a reflection. I could be wrong. Am I wrong?
So, yeah, it's different. The interest that we're paid is a different mechanism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. A reflection by definition is it rewards holders by employing like pretty much a mechanism in which a transaction's taxed. So like the example that I like to give is if you, me, and Big T all own 100 of a coin, and Big T sold and 10% of the reflections were paid out, you and I would both get 5 and 5. So we'd have 105 and then 105. And then the 90 would go back into, we'll say the pool, assuming there's no other tax or we'll call it on the sellback. Right.
Okay. I appreciate that. So that's good for
excited with reflections psychologically is because they understand that it kind of allows you to hold the token longer because they believe that they're getting more and more over time, which is true. That's absolutely true. The question is, will the value or will the liquidity continue to come in to keep up with the transactions that are happening, right? So there's kind of a, we'll call it like an equity curve there that, you know, big T sells, so liquidity's pooled. Is someone coming back in and putting that back up? Or did our valuation just kind of decrease even though we got both five more tokens each?
No, I appreciate that. Sorry,
Baroness. It's a mechanism that was created more for DeFi mechanism or ecosystem.
So I learned something tonight, and I never mind learning. So there is a difference between a token that rewards you for your activity and being in the ecosystem. And then from what I'm hearing is reflections are part of the tokenomics, and it gets distributed based on transactions in the coin. So I learned something tonight, and I was curious about that. And, you know, we're all learning, and it's always good to clarify. So I definitely appreciate that. And that's why I asked, because I want everybody to get the right information. And, you know, sometimes you got to get into the nuances, right? So thank you, Lucky. I appreciate it. Thank you for clarifying that for me.
And I think the big project that we all know is SafeMoon, right? That kind of, I would say, started the reflection trend. So SafeMoon is a reflection.
Yeah, because the term reflection is definitely a newer term over the last 6 months, right? Would you agree with that, or that's how I know it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it came out in the first quarter of 2021, if I'm not mistaken. So it's about a year old now.
All right. Well, I'm a little slow sometimes, so we'll call it 6 months for me. And you know, I would argue that some of the people in the room potentially have never heard the term before. But all right, great clarification there. So what we like about stablecoins, just to reiterate one thing, and if anybody has some quick questions, we'll bang them out. But the good part about the stablecoins is that you're not taking the directional risk and you're able to capture the yield. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes, that is the biggest, I would say, value on why you'd want to stake a stablecoin, though the return might not be as sexy.
Right, but at least you're not, like, especially right now. I mean, you know, people are a little nervous and, you know, risk is coming off. The Fed might have, you know, three rate hikes coming on. So, okay. So right now, it's actually a good strategy. Nobody minds the passive income. You know, you get to the point where some of these passive incomes are enough to help pay for a car payment, right? And I know some of the people here would agree. Go ahead, Big T.
You know, I thought that you brought up a really good point there, is that a lot of people are going risk off right now. And you can see that by the reserves that are sitting inside of stable coins. So a lot of people, you know, who utilize the mechanisms that we're talking about, you know, have their stable coins in staking right now. That's gaining the passive income. And the reason why that's a really important strategy, guys, is because essentially if your investments are going to go down, people are booking profits based on what's called a frothy market. You know, people are not sure which direction it's going to go. So instead of it going down and bleeding out, is another term that people use, they utilize these stable coins to earn a stable yield up until, you know, they want to redeploy that capital into other investments. So right now, you hit the nail on the head perfectly. That's exactly what's going on right now.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Jeb, I see your hand is up. Hopefully, what do you have?
Yeah, I got a question about stablecoin or lending, I guess. So there's multiple centralized exchanges. They all offer different rates. Could like someone explain how or why they're getting different rates across the board? Or are they doing something different in the background?
It has to do a lot with greed. You know, Voyager is one of the top, Celsius one of the top, and it also has to deal with the people they lend it to. I couldn't go into name for name, but Galaxy Digital is one of the largest places that, you know, borrow money and is a market maker, and that's a partner of Voyager's. So they're uniquely positioned to where you know, they have more people who are looking for the yield, or looking for the borrow on the money, so they can utilize them. And also because it also depends on, you know, how many investment vehicles do you have in your company? You know, Voyager, yes, it's a brokerage and it's a unique model. But they, I mean, generally they make a larger portion of money on the spread and they have multiple revenues that they can pull from to sustain that interest. Whereas like a BlockFi, if you look what happened to them earlier, you know, they started off with one of the best interest rates in the industry and that slowly diminished. And pretty much right now, they're just a credit card company. You know, I just say their business models differentiate. They give, you know, some of the bigger players like a Celsius or a Voyager the upper
hand. Yeah, and I would probably just add a little bit to that. Most places, Jeb, they usually take your deposit and then they secure a loan to other parties, and they're essentially paying out some of that spread that they're giving out a loan on. So I think, you know, I don't know the mechanism behind everywhere, but for me, what I've read and learned the most is typically off that borrow lending model. So you're lending, they're holding, then they're borrowing back out, and you're making a cut of that.
Baroness, you're up, please. Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of narrow it down because that ties into the explanation of the difference between CFI and DeFi. And real quick, can everyone hear me?
Lovely. You sound lovely.
Okay, good. All right, I'm in an area I'm not going to drop. All right. So when people are using central exchanges, you're looking at the yield market for what they're offering to give back in some form of reward, that it can fluctuate because they're centralized. And when you end up using a central, CFI, you're trusting the business market just like you trust your banks. Each bank gives a different percentile yield rate. And that's based off of what their own business interests are for what they invest in and arbitrage for getting those rates for you. So whatever their business model is, just like Big T was saying, that's how that equates to. Now, the difference between that and when we say to use DeFi, and we're using stable coins for your instance, not just, but you can do this with any other form of tokenomics. When you end up going to DeFi, as we were saying before, reflections, but I actually reflections, the term is fairly new, but we just generally used it as a term called static. And the static mechanism is where everything for arbitraging, for getting those yield rates that your CFI will end up doing, you have control over that. So that's the big difference. You can end up choosing what you want to do a static holding rate for, and you know, based off your awards, you are able to allocate what your liquidity pool is versus the reward pool is for you get the maximizing of your rates. So I hope that helps.
No, that was awesome. You have more control in DeFi. It's definitely more manual. Jeb, are we good there, Jeb?
Yeah, that was great. I have a follow up to that. So,
okay, and then we want to get to Anchor Protocol, and then we're going to take more questions. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. So when it comes to actual cryptocurrencies, when you're staking it on the centralized exchanges, are they actually staking it, or is it also lending similar to what they do with the stable coins?
Yeah, they're lending it. They're lending it as well, because that's where they're capturing the bigger rates. So there is demand for somebody. If an institution wants to short Bitcoin or Ethereum, they need to get the borrow. And then these big places, it's a huge lend borrow mechanism behind the coins, because you have to get the locate, and then that's how it works. That's how you get the directional. So does that make sense? Cool. Okay.
Yep,
good.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. We went over stable coins. You can get the yield without the directional market risk. Okay. I think that's a huge clarifying. You can, to a certain degree, trust the centralized exchanges depending on how big you go. Theoretically, that would be, you know, a lot of us have like different wallets for different things. So when I look at like this aspect, you know, I'm going to have a completely separate wallet for this, and it's a completely separate function of my crypto. This is completely different than my long-term trades in the L1s. Okay. But it's very important because you want to be efficient with your money. Lucky, can you take us through a simplified version of like using an Anchor protocol, you know, and just kind of, obviously the yield's much better. Obviously, you know, you got to go on exchange, you got to get it into a wallet, you got to map it. And it's just because it's important. I think it's there. And I do like Anchor. They have a big reserve behind it. I think it's fairly safe, you know, and thank you so much.
Yeah. So I just posted a picture up top. I actually created a little flow just so people can visualize it. I mean, it's probably the flow that my preferred way.
So we always talk about centralized exchanges. So our money's somewhere, either in a Coinbase, a Gemini, a Voyager, blah, 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 right? All those centralized exchanges that we talk about. Typically, you need to take your crypto and transfer it to somewhere else because your centralized exchanges, well, we'll talk about Coinbase or Voyager, they don't have native Luna. And there's lots of ways. So I'm sure someone's a crowd's like, this is not the only way. I know it's not the only way, but this is the way that I do it. I will take something like ETH and move it over to KuCoin. And then on KuCoin, what I'll do is I will convert that over to either UST or Luna based on how I'm feeling, based on the market. And then from KuCoin, I will transfer it over to my Terra wallet. Once I'm on my Terra Station wallet, then I can play in the Terra ecosphere. And if you guys are familiar with a lot of the decentralized protocols, you just hit connect wallet and you get the little picture that you can connect your trust, your MetaMask or your trust wallet or your Coinbase wallet. In the Terra ecosphere, when you hit connect wallet, it asks you to connect to either your Terra Station wallet or your Kepler wallet, your Terra Station wallet. And then once your funds hit there, you're in, and then you're playing on the protocol. So Anchor, pretty straightforward. You go to Anchor Protocol, you connect your wallet. If you have UST or Luna, you kind of look at the UI, figure out how to navigate around it, essentially deposit it like a bank. You'll get a receipt and you can earn, I believe it's at 19.57 last I looked, 5.6. It kind of fluctuates throughout the day. Hopefully that was a good quick explanation.
No, that's great. But on the other side of that, I mean, we're talking about five steps, basically three, four, five steps, right? And you have to know what you're doing. You have to take your time. It's not that bad, but I guess it's worth it. Is it worth it to get 19.5% in a savings protocol, basically?
I mean, I'll do the math.
I think so.
The math this way for you guys.
If
I start $1,000 on, let's say Voyager, and I pay the $6, we'll call it a $10 transfer fee for the gas. I'm gonna be at $9.90. Then I get to KuCoin. Let's say I lose another $5. I'm at $9.85. Then I'm gonna lose another, we'll say $4 when you transfer out UST from KuCoin because it's a $4 UST cost. Let's just say we're at $9.80-ish. 980-ish times 19% in a year, right? 19.47. Let me do the math real quick. 980 times 0.1947 is $190.81 of interest. And that's not even compounded. So it's actually compounded. So you're roughly going to make 190. So is that $20 worth it to me? Hell yeah, it's worth it. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it too. It's like, I just love this explanation because you're using crypto and DeFi and you're in a safe protocol that's been vetted. You know, everybody I talk to is very happy with Anchor. There's a reserve behind it. And I mean, let's be honest, people are in equities to get 20%, aren't they?
Yeah. But like I said, I don't want everything to be peaches and cream, right? So DeFi, you're accountable for your own funds, right?
Yep.
Risk factor. There's insurance you can buy on Anchor, but it could be hacked. Most likely, probably not, but can be. So never discount that risk. You have full authority and control and custody of your funds. So if you're not smart and you're not safe, and we've had sessions with you before, there's just a lot more risk to it. But you guys all know in life, if you don't take the risk, there's no reward.
Yes, big T.
Yeah, I wanted to touch base on that. So I went ahead and posted a video up top. It doesn't have like the picture with it, but there is a link. If you click on that, we have two people from our community that put together this video. Is Obi, and the other gentleman's name is DJ Crypto. And it actually walks you through the process of setting up the wallet and, you know, how to transfer things over and how to get started on Anchor Protocol. So anybody who's interested in that and really, you know, wants to do a play-by-play and you can actually see it done in real time, I think the video is like an hour something long. But I'm telling you, for 19% on your money, guys, it is well worth it.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, sorry, oh, Lucky.
It's no, a great, no. It's a great video, Big T. And I do plan to make like a 5-minute quick one. Like, so if we ever want to cut it down to 5 minutes, that's my goal, to help kind of the community too, because he goes into a lot of detail and it's awesome. I love it. And then once you get comfortable, you kind of want to rewatch it so you can just kind of get to the main points.
Right. And I would really appreciate you doing that, especially, you know, we can give people quick links. And I actually want to start doing stuff like that, like filming. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, I totally agree. Totally.
Well, that's why I dig you guys, because you guys get the education aspect to it. And I appreciate you guys coming over every Wednesday to help us work on the crypto literacy and get people more comfortable. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, Anchor was a little more intimidating for me 9 months ago. But, you know, you don't rush. You take your time. And I'm looking forward to it. I'll be on Anchor within a month. I'll tell you that much. All right. So Big T, how do we do it? How do we pump the room again? You're a pro at this. What do we say? Yeah.
So guys, at the top of the screen, and guys, there's so much alpha in this room right now. Like we are literally laying it out for you. You know, obviously enter at your own risk. But if you're somebody who wants to make money on these stable coins and want to learn how to do this, I mean, we're giving you a master course on it. But go ahead and share the room up top, guys. There's a half square with an arrow pointing up. Click that and tweet that out. I mean, the more people that get into these spaces, the more people we can involve and you know, educate. So please just take that 1 second for us. You know, we want to give you the opportunity to learn, but we want as many people as we can in here. So if you could take a second to share it.
Because I can't guarantee that I'm going to be able to keep getting Big T, Lucky, and Baroness unless the rooms get bigger, because they have other things they're doing. And I want to keep them here every Wednesday, but you got to tell your friends, right?
Brother, you have my word. I'll be here every time. I could care less about the people. I just love who you are.
I appreciate that. But we have to sell this, Big T. Help me sell it. You know what I mean? Oh,
okay. Yeah, no. I mean, you guys see what we do here. It's straight alpha. It's straight to the point. We're not beating around the bush. There's no hidden agenda. We're just going to keep it real with you. So there it is. Is that sexy?
That's perfect. But bring your damn friends. Bring your crew, okay? All right. So you know you can get a good amount of staking on the exchanges, right? And they're relatively safe. You know you can do a little more in DeFi. Now you know about Anchor and yes, there are manual steps, and you have to move the coins off the exchanges into a wallet, map it into a protocol, and then you're on a UI in the protocol, and then you're there, and then it's giving you the higher yield. But I just think it's worth it, especially for Anchor. And I think, you know, in equities, there's a term, rule of 72, and, you know, if you're, you know, it might take you 7 years to get your 100%. Think about that. I mean, if you're using Anchor Protocol and everything works out yes, there are risks, but, you know, I get it. I think they're fair risks. I would say that you will be doubling your money within 5 years. So you'll be saving 2 years on the compounding. Think about that. Relatively just over 5 years. Go ahead, Baroness. Then we're going to take some questions.
I was just going to piggyback off of everybody and bring it back to summing it up that other than saying Anchor, just DeFi in general, do your own research, that you focus on the innovations rather than individual companies. That's what makes it so decentralized, that you have innovations where you have your own portfolio, you have risk versus reward. The more risk is with more reward, obviously, but what's your risk tolerance? And when you go into something like Terra, you have Anchor Protocol and a new innovation of Prisms, where you can double up your compact interest, new reward stakings and so forth. Keep those in mind, because if you're going to go into DeFi aspect of it, it's not a mechanism that you should fall into for.
So I wanted to, did they cut out or that?
Oh, go ahead. I'm cutting in and out. Go ahead.
Okay. And guys, we want you to understand this as well. Like, you know, we're mentioning, you know, Voyager and the centralized, and we're talking about Anchor Protocol and DeFi. You know, Voyager is the best as far as centralized. In my opinion, Anchor is the best in DeFi, but there are so many options in DeFi, it's not even funny. You know, another one in, that a lot of the community is passionate about is the Meyer Exchange, Aileron. Similar structure, great liquidity pool. You know, you can stake that. You get their native token, I think it's called VEX. And essentially, you can reinvest that and continue to compound your interest. So there's so many protocols that are out there like this. This is just, and Lucky says this, so I'm going to take this. This is just two of the tools that we have probably the most conviction in is Anchor Protocol, and Terra, and then VGX and Voyager. But there's so many other ones, guys. So, you know, that goes back into everything that Bloomer teaches to the core, which is DYOR. But I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah. So thank you, Big T, and thank you, everybody. So the crypto guide is, I just cracked 300 downloads. So I appreciate everybody that's downloaded it.
Let's go. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Here, I'm giving my, it's shill time. So, guys, for anybody who's new in this space, and I'm just going to put this flat out straight up. If you don't take the time to download this guide, what in the hell are you doing? He took his time, spent his own money and resources to put something together that benefits you. All you have to literally do is click a button, download it. You're going to learn all the terminologies. You're going to learn a lot about crypto. So if you're somebody who's new to the space, or even if you're existing in the space, this is a great value to everybody in here, and it is 100% free. So take the time, download the guide, read through it. And then when you show up to spaces like this, because Bloomer hosts this every single week, utilize this, and knowledge is power.
Thank you. And some of the information you're going to know it. But I mean, I think the value is that I kind of vetted it and I kind of gave you my experience to kind of let you know how to think about it and sectorize it and whatnot. But it's been fun, and it's been a fun journey with everybody. I'd like to take some questions. And then after that, guys, I'd like to have some more fun, and I'd like to go a little more DeFi degen with the group. I'd like to talk about a looping. I'd like to talk maybe about yield farming and just show them like what the mid to advanced tiers look like in DeFi. I'm very happy that we showed the lower risk stuff, and like, I'm so cool with it. I think it totally makes sense. But I want to kind of show them what the people that have been in this space for a few years that kind of are comfortable in DeFi and being manual, what they're doing. So if anybody has questions, requests to speak, DM Big T and Lucky, if you guys don't mind taking DMs. I'm not that good at it because I'm a Gen X boomer. But we'll give it a minute for some questions, and then we're going to go a little faster into some other things of DeFi. Yes, Jeb.
Yeah. So for someone elaborate more on why it's more unlikely for UST to depeg compared to I don't know any other coin that you know of?
Yeah, I mean, the basis of UST one is one, the coin's algorithmic, and it's tied to Luna. So every time UST is minted, Luna's burned, and every time Luna is minted, a UST is burned. So that's one mechanism. So when UST is, you know, over a dollar, you can essentially burn Luna to bring it back down. There's the arbitrages that keep it pegged, and then there are protocols like White Whales that their sole job is to keep the dollar pegged, or keep UST pegged to the dollar. So there's lots of mechanisms on the UST ecosphere or the Luna ecosphere to keep UST pegged. So if you actually take a chart and look at UST specifically when there has been, we'll say some as crypto has gone down in certain days or red days, you'll see how well the UST has stayed pegged versus other coins. And you can think of it kind of like a run on the bank. So what's happening is like on red days, people might panic sell. And the goal is, how do you keep those pegged? And the mechanisms that UST has created has proven to be a strong foundation to keep it pegged to a dollar.
And I want to back him up on that as well. Guys, it's crazy, right? You'd think that if, for instance, a centralized platform like USDC, every time a new USDC is minted, it's backed by a dollar in a bank in a reserve, right? But what's unbelievable about this whole process is, and Obi pointed this out, and I began to look at it a lot more. If you look at all the stable coins side by side, yes, it is tied to the dollar, dollar for dollar, but there is slight discrepancies because of how the market fluctuates. What's really interesting, if you actually look at UST, it actually keeps the peg to the dollar better than any stable coin does. And it's because of that symbiotic relationship between Terra and Luna, and then all the different protocols that they utilize and how they counterbalance each other there to keep that peg. It really is like some next level stuff, guys. It's unbelievable. But if you look at stable coins, it actually keeps the peg the best.
And I would also take a look at, you know, how much liquidity is in UST. You can see it's been on a pretty much a tear. And in the next few months, there's actually going to be an on-ramp directly with UST. So as UST continues to grow, I mean, the stabilization of UST is unbelievable. So some of the greatest minds, I would say, in Twitter are pretty much saying this is like a pre-Apple, and it's going to become an Apple for the decentralized finance area.
Yeah, it is a beautiful design, right? And, you know, it reminds me of like ETFs, you know, because I came from ETFs, and you would have this create redeem function. When the basket was worth more than the ETF, you would redeem it. And when the basket was cheaper than the ETF, you would create it, right? There's an arbitrage out there. So that's kind of what's happening. But with UST and with Luna, it just complements each other. And it ends up that they end up burning Luna. So it's like, I mean, the lunatic crowd, I get it. I mean, it's a great, you know, I mean, it just absolutely makes sense. But that's a great question. I'm not sure if everybody in the room caught what we're talking about, but it's a beautiful design. We'll just leave it at that. Thank you, Jeb. Any other questions before? Oh, sorry. You like to ask?
It sounds like UST has a lot of uses like throughout the Terra ecosystem and maybe outside it even.
They structured it in a way where the stable coin complements the whole ecosystem. It's just really nicely done.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I was just going to say, there was a similar one. It's like Iron Finance or Iron Bank or something. And they were doing something similar to Luna and UST, where it was algorithmically pegged, but they didn't have that much use cases. And so they depegged and it completely failed.
Yeah, we're not seeing that with this one, right? I mean, the AUM is great, the market cap is good. So thank you. I'm going to bring Ray up, Big T, if that's okay, and take another question, and then let's go full DGen after this. You know, if we don't get any more questions, let's do it.
So I brought them up, and Ray, congratulations on becoming a VGX hero. That's nice to see you.
Ray, shoot your shot, Ray.
Hey, I am very interested in getting more involved in the Terra ecosystem, but I have found it somewhat shocking as to the cost of getting my assets from VGX over to Terra. And then I'm concerned about, do I pay also again on the way back? So where you're getting an uplift and the amount of yield you get while you're there, I'm wondering, is it worth the difference of not just getting my 9 or 10% on USDC?
So my answer to you would be, you know, what is the amount that you're trying to move over? Because I mean, if it's a sufficient amount, then ultimately it's not going to matter. In regards to transferring assets off the platform, you can sell whatever asset it is that you want. I would recommend not doing that because you're going to incur a taxable event. However, if you do put money, like say you're wanting to do this process and you want Voyager be your on-ramp to send it over to KuCoin and get this process started, you can actually purchase Litecoin. And Litecoin is going to be the cheapest asset that you can actually send off of the platform in order to begin this process. So, that's something. Go ahead, Baroness.
Oh, I was just going to say the process of moving, if you want to use what you have currently in Voyager, is purchasing Litecoin. The other thing is I just, like, I was going through that route for a little bit, but overall it just doesn't make sense for my portfolio to do that, taxation events and so forth. So I just make my recurring buys into, I can hook up with KYC, my debit card with like OK Token, or which is able to sell native UST Terra network coinage to move on to the Terra ecosystem directly. Everyone uses KuCoin. I personally had some issues with them just because of the state that I'm in. Another location, I use Gate.io that does a free like blockchain of Tron, and then it has all the other blockchain wraps and so forth that you can purchase your items off of. But the transactions to get something to one ecosystem to another, yes, you have to figure out your risk tolerance reward. And as we said before, it's not even just at the 9.5 percentile. It just depends on how you want to utilize the DeFi network. So if you're trying to arbitrage, if you're going to have a high risk tolerance, you have the time of day to babysit your assets, to move things around constantly, it is definitely worth playing on the DeFi, no matter what the dollar amount is. But just remember your gas fees.
You know, and that's another point too I wanted to bring up. And Ray, I'm just going to use this as a flat number, right? But you can break this down however you want. If you put $100,000 into Terra, and I'm not saying you're going to do that, but once again, just for number's sake, do you notice the difference between, you know, even a Navigator tier for VGX and Voyager, that you're only getting $10,500 in a year compound interest, so it's a little bit higher. And in Anchor, you're getting, you know, $19,000 for that same amount of cash. So, I mean, it's a, if you're worried about the cost of, you know, getting in the on-ramp and, you know, swapping and this, that, and the other, you got to think, you know, what is your terms, what is your gains going to be long-term, not the short-term loss, you know, of having to swap things. I mean, what is 40 bucks to, you know, so say you put $10,000 in and you get that 20%, it's $2,000. So it's minuscule. You're still way ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I've just liquidated a lot of my assets because I'm going risk off. And so I now have a lot of money in USDC on Voyager. And so I'm trying to assess whether it's worthwhile trying to make those multiple jumps in order to get it into the Terra network and move it to UST. Well,
I will say this, hang on, because what we're going to talk about next is going to be interesting for you, because we're going to show you that you can make an additional loop, and but one step at a time. But you can go to Anchor and be done and get the 19.5, or you can be a little more creative if you are that advanced, and we're going to get into that real quick. So just hang on for one second. Is that okay, Ray? Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, awesome. Thank you. Dos Equis, man, you are next to speak, sir.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for hosting this space. I just wanted to hop on for a little request. As we start out the spaces, we change from one topic to the next. I use these groups as specifically your group, Bloomer. I broadcast it out to all of my real life community, tell them, like, you know, for those wanting to learn and begin learning about crypto, these are these spaces to attend, to learn in a very safe and just great way. So with that, I find that when people are learning anything new, the one of the best places to start is just to begin to understand the basic vocabulary of that subject, right? So I just wanted to put in that request that because we open these spaces up for beginners. I know in the past we've had even a high school teacher bring on his students, you know, and things like that. So can we focus when we change topics or open up a new topic, can we spend just like 2 to 3 minutes talking about, okay, these are kind of the common vocabulary that we're going to be talking about, and just kind of breaking it down a little bit like that.
Absolutely. I appreciate your feedback. You know, we're still learning here. So yeah, and you know, and maybe come up and hang out with us and let me know if we're not being clear enough. You know, we're hopefully, I mean, that is our goal. We want everybody to be comfortable. And did you by any chance download the guide? Did you get value in it?
I did download the guide. I've just been super busy this week and haven't gotten a chance to.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. You know, life gets in the way. I understand. But didn't we kind of go over stablecoin staking protocols? You think we're going too fast today? I mean, what do you really? I mean, I don't know.
We just need a beaded pageant style it.
I mean, we did go over stablecoins, how staking, what it works, what it means. I think the only thing we didn't go, we went over reflections. And protocols, I guess we could explain what a protocol is.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Let's do protocols. Let's explain what a protocol is. I think that's a good point. My bad.
Go ahead, Lucky.
Let's bring this. Lucky, if you don't mind, could you?
Yeah. Sorry, the question was, what's a protocol, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, for me, when I use the protocols are components of a blockchain technology. So, you know, when we talk about protocols on a blockchain, you know, when I say Anchor or Stator Labs or Nexus or Mir, right, those are all protocols that are working off of the Terra Luna ecosphere. And then, you know, I don't really dive into other ones. I'm sure people could rattle them off. But to me, a protocol is built off of that foundational blockchain layer that we're talking about. So we've been discussing the Luna Ecosphere protocol, and I believe there are some good sites out there, and I'll see if I can find a picture. It kind of shows Luna up top, and then it shows all the protocols, or maybe in simplest terms, websites that you can go to that then you can utilize your Luna to do certain things.
Yeah, and that is a fantastic explanation. And
it really is.
That's a perfect, that's what we mean by feedback. Like when we come here, if there's anything that anybody's missing or you think that would add value, you know, obviously this is for beginners, but you know, when you're going over so much information, you're trying to do it in a lot of time, it's hard to go over everything. So if there's anything that you guys are not sure of, I want you guys to hit that damn button at the bottom, please. Cause that helps us out.
And we want the questions. And so I look at Anchor as a savings protocol. You have other protocols on the blockchain that are doing different things, right? That are helping run the blockchain. But in this regard,
I would just correct you a little bit. Anchor has a earn, borrow, bond, and govern function. So the earn is when you say savings. The borrow is how we can get into in a second, how I can take more money out on my money, which is when you start getting the degen. Bond is more of an explanation around how Luna and B-Luna works. And then the govern is if you want to stake typically the protocol coins that come from it so you can vote on what happens on the protocol. Because remember, it's decentralized. So the key of decentralization is it's the people's, and the people's is governed.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's a DeFi. You're right. It's a DeFi protocol of multiple steps. You're right. And I'm getting body slammed tonight, but that's okay because I want the right information out there. Baroness, what do you got?
Oh, I was just going to head out and say thank you for giving me the mic. And I hope you guys do well. And I hope to watch the recording later on. Thank you.
Well, you are love. Thank you for coming up and helping us. And always a pleasure to have you. And Lucky, you know I'm kidding. I'm playing. But I do appreciate it. I want them to have the right information.
Oh, yeah. No, all good. All good.
All right. So let's see if anybody else would like to ask a question or two. And then we're going to go more degen. We have Brad, don't we, Big
C? Yep. Bradford. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing this evening?
Hey, good. How are you, brother? Nice to see you again.
Yeah. So when Lucky just answered what a protocol was, in my research, I was considering that a utility. So I kind of had two questions. Can you spend a little bit of time just trying to tell or teach me, or if there's others that know the difference between protocol and utility? And I would like to get a lot clearer on staking. How long is the commitment? And because that's a term I'm just coming in contact with today, if you guys don't mind.
We do not mind.
I'll go ahead, Lucky. You want me to take a chop at it?
Sorry, go ahead, Big T. Why don't you start with the first question and then I'll fill in.
Yeah, so, well, staking. Ask your question one more time.
The difference between protocol and utility.
Yeah, so why don't you start with utility, Big T. Tell me about utility.
Yeah, utility is essentially... Actually, Tim gives the best explanation. So utility, essentially, in the way he says it, so I'm going to try to rebuttal this, is like walking into a gaming center, right? And you have to use certain coins. You have to own the native coin in order to play the game, right? So it unlocks a whole bunch of utility within the ecosystem. So you then, you know, for instance, if I own VGX, the native token to Voyager, I get a plethora of benefits that come along with that, such as, you know, the interest boosters, the cash back on the debit card, the 7% staking, all those things. So in order to, you know, unlock that utility, I have to own the native token. So yeah, utility is just a word that, you know, you can utilize different mechanisms inside of an ecosystem is what utility is. And it's actually the meaning of a protocol is actually not too far off from the utility in a sense, but that's my best I can do on that one.
All right. Just protocols are, like I said, components of the blockchain technology. So when I talked about the Luna Ecosphere and I named off different protocols, right? Anchor, Nexus, Stator, Mir. It's not just utilizing, like Big T saying, that token. They can take multiple different tokens or coins on those platforms, but they're built on the Terra blockchain, right? You can't, so think of it this way. I can't go to Anchor Protocol, connect my MetaMask or my Trust Wallet and start playing with ETH. I need to have Luna, or I need to have a Terra wallet that can hold vast amounts of different coins. And then I can go to these protocols that were built on that blockchain and utilize those protocols with my connected wallet with those tokens or coins on that blockchain. Does that help, Brad?
Lots, actually. So in other ways, and again, I'm just now getting into this, so you could really consider coins as whole projects, right? So a coin would be a project, and I'm trying to think, their utility would say we run on X blockchain or this platform, and then utilities that they would offer as benefits that come from that. Am I getting close on that?
A little bit. A coin operates on its own blockchain, but then a token usually is a token. They don't have their own blockchain. They're actually operating on a certain blockchain. So a coin is the Luna coin, right? Or the ETH, or Litecoin, or, you know, Bitcoin. But then tokens are like those that you find on top of, you know, we like to talk about the Binance Smart Chain a lot, right? On the Binance Smart Chain, there's a bunch of tokens that you can buy, and we typically call them meme. Now, we kind of use these words interchangeable a lot because we like to say meme coin, meme token, da 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 da. But if you want to go by definition, that's the actual definition of the two.
Yeah, and then I wanted to touch base on one more thing. So, Bradford, one of the and Lucky brought up a good point is, you know, a coin essentially is its own function, it's its own blockchain. Whereas, let me put it this way: like 85% of coins are tokens, 90% are tokens, and majority of them are actually built on the Ethereum blockchain. So, like, for instance, the coin that I love the most, obviously, VGX, that's a token that's built on the Ethereum blockchain. So the Ethereum would be the coin that the token VGX is built on. Does that make sense?
Very much. I got it.
No, and listen, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody runs right by that distinction, but it's so important to know that coins have their own native blockchains. And tokens are built on top of it. And, you know, it's just a very important distinction. And then as far as staking, Bradford, I know, you know, maybe you came in late, but staking is when you are basically dedicating your coin into for like a yield return. And there's two different types. There's like liquid and committed. So like VJXs are not like liquid or locked, basically. That's how I would describe it. So sometimes you would stake and you stake it and you can't get it out for a full month. And then other ones are more liquid and you can change your mind and pull it out whenever you want. That's part of the staking as well.
Yeah, those are probably the two biggest things I would want people to take away, right? Understand if they're liquid staked or if they're lock stake. And where liquid staking has its benefits, the yield return probably will be a little less. Where lock stakes has its benefits, the yields might be a little higher. But then, you know, for most lock things, you're probably exposed to volatility of whatever asset you're locked in.
This is awesome. We asked for questions and we're getting them.
Go ahead. But to go on that staking. So in essence, okay, I hear y'all speak so much about Voyager. So I downloaded it last night. I followed the link. And then this evening, I saw an advertisement for like a Jade card from crypto.com. And I was like, well, I just want to research it. What matters? So I downloaded the app and kind of read the offer, and it offers certain benefits for staking, but it wasn't clear.
Well, what were the benefits? I mean, it seems that you deeply downloaded the app. So what were the benefits?
Okay. Yeah.
What was that now?
No, that was some random person coming up here trying to speak over whatever. Tina, we don't mind you coming up here speaking, but there is order to the room. So when you come up here, respect the hosts. Especially when someone's asking a question. Sorry about that, Bradford.
No, it's all good.
Can you ask your question again?
Yeah, so the staking, so could you consider that almost like a savings account? So if it's liquid, I would say that each entity would have their own rules for that, right? You could come in and out maybe once a day, once every other day. They would probably...
I'll explain this to you. And this is what really does set Voyager apart. Like bar none, is the fact that you're liquid at any point. So when you go on to crypto.com, and guys, do not get caught up in this rabbit hole. If it makes sense for you and you don't mind staking your coins, you know, feel free to download the app. But the problem is that you essentially, and I don't want to be too passionate when I say this, but you essentially are forfeiting your rights for a prolonged period of time in order to gain these staking rewards. So I want you to understand the difference between liquid staking and actually having to lock up your funds.
And that's how I was going to wrap that up. I was wondering if Voyager had that. I didn't get a lot of time to play in Voyager, but as much as you guys talk about it, it makes sense.
And that's the thing. Like when you talk about a real bank function, Voyager will be able to offer that because that their business model is around giving you freedom. On their platform, there's no lockups. They have very small minimums, and they pay you automatically. So I want you to understand the difference because that is one of the many key differentiators.
All right, well done, Mr. October. You were up, and then we're going to go to our buddy Tim B. But before we get started, Mr. October, LeBron is not better than Kobe. Okay, I respect that. I respect that. Go ahead, sir.
So, Bloomberg, you're from New York, right? You should understand where I'm coming from.
I think. Listen, I'll be honest. I think Kobe was the best finisher out of all. I'll call that right here.
LeBron is the greatest all time.
I love LeBron, but I'll tell you what. If Kobe could finish, man. I'll leave it there. Kobe was a great finisher with the game on the line. LeBron. Go ahead, Mr. October.
All right, so I think you guys gave a great definition on the level ones and level twos, you know, the coins versus the tokens, and I appreciated that. A lot of people don't know that, to your point, but my question is, I just recently, what did I say, about 2 months ago, I just got into DeFi. I've always been a CeFi guy. DeFi, I think we can all agree, is where a lot of the returns, significant returns are. Would you guys agree with that? If you know what you're doing, right?
100%. But there are risks to it, and that's what we're trying to show, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. The bigger the risk, the bigger the return, the bigger the losses, yada, 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 right? But I guess my question, where I got hung up at, was there's this term called mirror. And then there is another step that I got hung up on about 2 weeks ago about synthetic coins. And that's where I stopped. Like, I put my money in Terra Luna, and he's getting the 19% or whatever it is. I kind of, you know, dabbled in there. Then, as I'm following instructions, the guy was talking about mirroring, and you can get bigger returns doing that.
Yeah, I call that looping. Lucky, you call that looping or mirroring.
Yeah,
and
I'm gonna stop right here.
No, it's cool. No, it's good. It's good. Just hang on for 1 second. We'll take some more questions, and if we can get to it, we will. But mirroring or looping is when you borrow from the anchor, and there's a couple steps, and then you redeploy your borrow, and that's more of the full degen thing. Okay.
Appreciate it.
No worries. Yes, sir.
Clarify just so if people listening are on it. So MIR is a protocol on the ecosystem that you can get exposure to synthetic stocks. And what it does is it's mimicking essentially the real life. So when they say synthetic, it's essentially kind of mirroring the US markets in a way. And Bloomer's right. You can borrow on Anchor to do things on MIR to gain more, we'll say, percentage basis based off how degen you want to be. So I'll leave it there and we can actually go into it, but just to kind of let you know that there's...
Thank you, Lucky. I do appreciate that. And I want to get to it because I think it is interesting. And DeFi is not my strength, but I know that I can't afford to miss the opportunity in it. So I've been studying it as well. So I appreciate that Lucky is knowledgeable and can help, because I want you guys to get the right information. Tim, what do you got? And then we'll get to physical Bitcoin after that.
Yeah. Hey, Bloomer, everyone.
What's up, my man? How you been?
I've been well. I had something going on earlier, so that's why I got on a little late tonight. But I just wanted to add an extra thought process to the question about protocols. And I wanted to give people the idea and the thought that when you hear Anchor Protocol or any other type of protocol, you can kind of demystify it in your mind if you just think of protocol as the process and the steps that you take to operate inside of the Anchor system. So it's the Anchor process, the steps that you have to take within Anchor to do what it is that they're trying to provide. So I just wanted to throw that in there. Just think of protocol as the steps or the process for that particular system.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. And great to have you up here. Physical Bitcoin Art, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you all doing tonight?
We're chilling, having fun. You enjoying the space so far?
Yeah, I mean, I joined a little bit ago, you know, obviously, you know, I requested right away, but I happened to just be like scrolling through different spaces, and I seen that this was I think we met a couple days, like a week or so ago, maybe even a pretty degen space Bloomer. But regardless, that's what it is. I had a question, you know, more, it's kind of a question and a statement as well. And, you know, the thing that I thought that was interesting is, you know, the reason I joined mainly is about stable coins. It's not so much staking yet, but, you know, I've been involved with, or not involved, or I've just been part of a project, I guess, that released like, or it's been around for like a year or more, I guess. And I'm kind of curious what you guys think of like privacy stable coins. Because, like, you know, the only like real privacy stablecoin that I know of is like to do with is like XUSD. I guess it's like it's like called Haven Protocol. And I don't mean, you know, to bring up like.
No, I appreciate it. I hear. I mean,
you know, but yeah, you know, real quick, if I may, because I have, you know, I've invested some in the past, and but I'm completely like removed from it right now. But I, you know, and if you guys have like heard of like Thorchain and like what they're doing and.
Yeah. So so what we're trying to do here is just keep it simple, explain the concepts. This is more of a newbie room. And there is a place for privacy coins for sure, but we're kind of only talking about the projects that kind of make sense in this one. And I don't know, Lucky, am I on the right page here, or what do you think, Lucky?
I think so. And you know, you can keep going physical in a second. I don't know the right form to maybe jump into that, because I think tonight we're just talking, you know, probably simple DeFi and different levers and mechanism we can pull, and we're kind of staying on, we'll call it a straight and narrow path. I do understand there's multiple paths we can go down, but we're trying to keep the audience down a certain path just so they can understand and grasp it. And these are rights and left turns you can take, right?
Yeah.
I want to add into that real quick.
Yeah, it's nothing personal. We just want you to understand.
No.
Yeah, so I just wanted to add into that real quick. So for a lot of these people that are in this space, just a little bit about us. I usually host spaces in the morning, and we go over like the absolute basics, right? And Bloomer hosts a space every Wednesday where we go over certain subjects in his literacy guide. So it's very structured. So I don't mean to cut you off, and I appreciate you coming up here. But if we can jump back to the topic, and then at the end, if Lucky or somebody wants to take the question or tell them your thoughts, we can do that. But not, right now is not the time.
Yeah, and as you get more into crypto at late night, it's a lot of fun to identify with the degens and talk about looping, and you know. It's fun, right? Because you're doing more and you're taking additional steps. So who would like to, did we answer all the questions so far? I think we did, right, Big T?
Yeah, I just think the last person was Bradford, and then we had physical.
I wanted to say one thing though, real quick, if I may, real quick.
Okay.
It's kind of funny that, what's his name? Lucky? He has the same avatar as like my other account that I have to do with, or it's not the same, you know, he made it look a lot better, but I like, you know, compliments to your logo or your avatar. And anyways, I'll respect your all's situation and what you guys have going here. And I wish you all the best, and thank you for letting me speak for a few minutes.
Worries. And look, you know, we'll kick it with you on another room, you know. But thank you. All right. Who wants to explain the next level of DeFi degen and get into taking another loop against Anchor or something, just so they kind of hear it?
Yeah. And I kind of wanted to lay the stage for Lucky, because this is really where he's going to set the stage on fire. Guys, this is recorded, so please don't feel like you have to be jotting this down in your notes. When we talk about going down the rabbit hole, and really about to set the stage on fire, what he's about to go over, and he's going to go over a lot of the different websites, quote unquote, what he was referring to, that you can utilize within Anchor Protocol to start maximizing your returns and playing in DeFi. But yeah, so don't worry about jotting notes. This is going to sound crazy as hell, but enjoy this, because this is really what cryptocurrency is about.
Yeah, and one PSA, please, before we get started. This is not meant, you do not start off doing this stuff. You are in crypto for a year or two. You've done your research. You are comfortable with the steps. But now you want to do more than just basic staking or basic protocoling, okay? Welcome to the world of DeGen.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. You guys make it sound way too sexy.
I love it.
Lucky, you always talk, let's start off on this, right? You talk about being positive cash flow. Let's start there. Talk about getting your situation right, and then how we can go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think obviously that's super important. And being positive cash flow obviously is the first thing. And then this is really just making your money work for your money. So if you're in a good situation, and you do feel, and you feel like you have some conviction around certain plays or certain things, there's ways that you can essentially loan out more money against your money to then earn. So here's some examples that I'll just share that you can do on the Luna ecosphere. And again, I clearly understand that you can probably do this on other things like Abracadabra, in other chains, but I'll just talk about the Luna ecosphere because that's probably what I'm most familiar with. So we've talked about Anchor and where you can make 19.5%, and you deposit that in your urn. When you buy Luna, you can use that as collateral, take out money. So there's something called a bonded Luna, which is B Luna, but I'll just keep this simple. So essentially you deposit the Luna you buy and you put it into your, we'll call it vault. And then you can borrow off of your Luna that you put into the vault. When you borrow off of that Luna, right now it's a 4% loan value, which is a little higher than I've probably seen for a long time. But in the summer, it was actually paying you to borrow, which is crazy. But it's a 4% rate to borrow. And essentially, you could do simple things. You could just borrow off of your Luna that you buy and go throw it an Anchor protocol, earn 19% on that, and you've made a net difference of 15%. Now,
hang on. That's perfect. Does everybody understand what he just said? By taking an additional step and borrowing and doing one additional loop on maybe half of the money you had in Anchor, you have now increased your yield from 19 to probably 30%. And Ray, you were asking earlier, this is another step. Well, this is one loop, and it's not a super high risky loop either, but it is a degen strategy. Thank you.
Yeah, and you are suspect to the volatility of Luna, just to be clear, because you need to put collateral in, and collateral is Luna. So the Luna token or coin can go up and down. So you have to watch your loan to value. So, you know, we can keep numbers pretty easy here. If I put let's say Luna's at $100 and I put $100 in, you can borrow up to 50%. You typically, for me, and I'll just kind of share my strategy, I like to stay in that 35 to 40% loan to value.
Smart man.
Okay. Now, so what I'm saying is if I put 100 in, I can take out 30. With that 30, I can go put that 30 in Anchor and make 19.5, but I'm paying back 4.5. So I'm making a difference of 15%. Now, if Luna starts, so let's just play this out a little bit. If Luna starts depreciating in value and my loan to value is getting closer to liquidation, which is 60, you could essentially just pull out whatever you had in Anchor and pay back your loan and you're done, right? I mean, that's kind of like safe, a little degen, but safe degen is what I'll call it. You just have to be managing your LTV. Essentially. So I'll stop there just to make sure that makes sense.
Yeah, I think Ray has the question on this. This is the safest version of looping. This is looping without yield farming, basically, in my opinion.
All right. So I want to make sure I understand this. So if I send money into the Terra ecosystem, via either UST or Luna, or I guess I would have to send it in as Luna. I stake the Luna and then I borrow against the staked Luna and turn that into UST in Anchor. Is that right?
Yeah. So you said it right. I'll just kind of summarize it for you. You can move in to the Luna ecosphere with either UST or Luna. It's your decision. So I would go the cheapest route. If you go in with UST, you will need to buy Luna. So on TerraSwap, which is another protocol, you can buy Luna with your UST. If you moved in Luna, you already have it. Once you have your Luna, you convert that to B Luna. And it's a simple bond. So if you go to Anchor Protocol, so app.anchorprotocol.com, everyone can see there's a bond tab, and you can take your Luna and just convert it to B Luna. So that's right. I don't want to get too much into that, but essentially it's a one for one. Just so you know, it's essentially a one for one. So you're not going to lose there unless you
convert it back without the holding period. So this is where it gets also interesting with staking. You convert Luna to B-Luna. You give your B-Luna up as collateral. And then you can borrow off your B-Luna and get UST back into your wallet. Now, what you want to do with that UST is essentially how degen do you want to go? Because you've essentially taken out a loan. And with that UST, you can go put it back into earn and make the 19.5. Or you can go into do something with staking like we talked about earlier. So you could go find some staking on some other protocol that you want to use that UST for. Or, and we haven't really covered liquidity pools yet, so I can talk about that later. Or I could take you to Mir and have you loop again, but you're just getting into more degenerate stuff, which I don't really want to teach people how to do.
Agreed. We just want to tease them with the extra loops a little bit and not teach them all the bad things just yet.
What's the risk in that? I mean, I keep hearing about liquidations.
So here's the risk. So think about this for a second. Let's take $100. If I borrow 30 off my 100, right? So if I borrow 30% off my $100, I'm at a 30% loan to value, correct? You following the math?
I'm with you.
Okay. So let's assume Luna's at 100. So if Luna goes down to 60, right? If Luna goes down to 60 and I borrowed 30, what's my loan to value?
Well,
50%.
You're 50%. 50.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At 60%, I get liquidated. So you would get liquidated once Luna drops down to a value that is 60% for the 30. Right? Does that make sense?
So
50, yep. Which is 50, just to give you the exact number. So I kind of want you to do the math ahead. But so if I bought Luna at 100 and I put Luna and I take a loan of 30% off of it. So I have 30 UST dollars now. And Luna goes between 80 and 90 and 100 and 110. You're happy. Your loan to value is going up and down, and it's not really risky. If Luna starts dropping and it gets to 60 and you took $30 out, you're at a 50% loan to value. People start panicking a little bit there. They're like, oh shit, 10% away from liquidation. If Luna drops to 50 and you don't repay your loan before it hits 50, you will become liquidated because you've exceeded the max loan to value. Mm-hmm. Okay. But why I was very clear and said I like to utilize a 30 to 35% loan to value is one that gives me some room to play. Right? That gives me some room to play.
You're doing great. So by him using a lower loan to value and he's at 30%, he's giving himself a higher margin of error if Luna comes down because he knows he's going to be liquidated at 60% loan to value. And it gives him more room to allow the Luna coin to be volatile. Does that make sense, everybody? And Lucky, I just wanted to explain a little bit differently just in case. Hope you don't mind.
It does make sense, but what I would be concerned about is in the market we're in right now, where there is a concern of the market dropping, and it could drop precipitously if
100%. We just want to show you the strategy, some of the additional what an additional loop in DeFi could do. But we're also not recommending this, especially for this room. We just wanted to show you what a more complicated version would look like. And this is not even the fully complicated stuff. It's just one level.
Yeah, and let me just touch upon one thing real quick. I like the Luna ecosphere, and I'll just give you a little background on why. I totally understand the risks, right? I mean, it's clearly my money. It's my risks. I'm not telling anyone to go do this. But there are protocols that have been put on the Luna ecosphere to help with liquidation. And what do I mean by that? I mean that
there are literally protocols where people can go stake their money, or we'll say hold their money for 3, 4, 5, 6 days that liquidate down, that will protect significant drops. So if you go onto the chart on Luna, you will see that on, I think it was December 4th. Bloomer, you might want to mute Big T.
That's Big T. Yeah, it's Big T.
Sorry.
You will see, Ray, on December, I think, 4th, there's a long wick down. Mm-hmm. And that wick hit like $40. Now, there was an error with the Oracle on that day. But I think back in August, there was another day that happened that kind of liquidated people. Since then, the ecosphere has gotten better and stronger around how to protect those days that have significant drops. So I'm just giving a little background, and you can do your own research on this stuff. But there are things like Kujira and Meow that actually people can go put like my UST and say, hey, if we do get a down day, I want to buy things at a 4% discount. And that's actually protecting these people that have high loan to values, because the market's not just going to essentially crash. It has to kind of get through all that liquidity first as it continues to move down. So hopefully that answers that question. I know Wintermute, you had your hand up. Feel free to add what you wanted there.
Yeah. Just about the liquidation. I mean, my understanding of liquidation is like, you don't lose everything. You just get liquidated to an amount that brings you back to the 60%. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So basically, it's just like some of your Luna gets sold and probably at a slight discount. But
yeah, and it depends.
You're not like wiped out or anything.
It depends how far it goes down, right? I mean, that's the other caveat to that whole conversation. It's just, are you catching it in time? Are you paying it back in time? How far is it dropping? Do you have enough Luna? Like, are you way over collateralized? I mean, there's a lot of factors that, but yes, you're right, Wintermute.
Sounds like a margin call.
It is.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you, Lucky. And look, for the record, I think using Anchor Protocol in just the earn capacity is enough for the majority of the people. If you treat it, you know, if you treat it like a savings account, if you do basic DeFi, I personally think that's enough. But I wanted people to see what the more advanced people are doing, and they're taking the additional step, and then they're applying it to other projects to capture even more yield. I just wanted people to know that's part of the DeFi world, that people are doing that as well, so they could understand some of the risks in DeFi.
The way I like to pose it is this way, is if you feel comfortable and confident in the decentralized finance space like Anchor Protocol, and you move in, let's make it up, $1,000. So you know over that year, you'll make $190 off that 1,000. Let's just use round numbers there, or 200. Let's just say 200. How I like to think about these spaces are, I now have $200 to go do something with that can be possibly a little more risky, that I can make more money on top of that money. Right? Like that's how my brain thinks. And so I try to maximize these protocols or areas that are pretty, we'll call them stable from a return perspective, and they're not exposed to volatility. And then what I can do with those earnings is go put into something that's volatile or that can maybe produce more compounded returns in something like a liquidity pool, or one-sided liquidity pool stakings, things that we've talked about prior in this conversation.
Yeah. So what I would say is you're showing the more medium-term to advanced strategies, and what you're doing is you're leveraging the Anchor return to take additional leverage in DeFi. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Just to keep it simple and just to make the room understand.
Or I'm just taking my earn without doing the leverage and utilizing that to do more degen stuff. You can look at it two ways. Just depends on
right. You're leveraging the earn return to go get more.
Yeah, it sounds to me like the looping and the more aggressive strategies are great to try probably during a bull market, maybe less so during, you know, a more risky market like we're in right now. At least that's the way it would feel comfortable for me.
I mean, I think it depends, right? Because if it depends on what you're doing with the money you're pulling out, right? Like I said, if I just put my B Luna up for collateral and I take 30% off my B Luna and I throw that directly in Anchor Protocol and just earn 19.5% on that, but we might be in a bear market and my loan to value gets a little too risky, I'll just go take that UST directly out of the earn and put it right back and pay off my loan. And whatever I made between day one to day 20 is free money for me. I mean, it just depends on what you do with it. So I wouldn't say that as a generalized statement. It just depends how you're going to invest it.
Is there a lockup period?
No, it's all liquid.
It's all liquid?
Well, let me clarify that. There's no lockup period on the UST that you're putting in earn and taking out of earn. Where you get into a little bit of mathematical maybe loss is when you burn B Luna back to Luna, it's a 21-day burn period, but you can sell B Luna directly on something like TerraSwap. You just won't get a 1-for-1. You might get like a 0.98. So, but for this conversation that I just stated, that last scenario, you really don't need to worry about B Luna back to Luna. We were talking more about paying back your collateralized loan if you're worried about a bear market, and you're just taking that right back out of earn and putting it back in to pay the loan, and that is completely liquid with no lockups.
Also depends on your positioning in the market too. Like, you have to understand, like, you know, what did you get your Luna at, right? Like that plays a huge factor, correct, Lucky?
Not really. It's how much you're providing as collateral. I mean, what you're more or less saying is if I bought it at $10 and I have 1,000 versus me buying at 100 and I have 10, it just matters how much I'm going to borrow.
I see what you're saying, Big T, too, because the additional loop of a strategy, and I understand what Ray's saying too. It's like if you're taking the leverage on the Luna, you would like to not be doing it at the top of the Luna market. You would not want to be doing this at all-time highs, because theoretically you would have a more significant risk, depending on how big your loan to value was, of the coin coming off.
That's But real quick,
I think this is very important, because you could tell there are some smart people in the room. You could tell there are some people that are in finance. You could tell there are some people who understand margin calls, who understand risk management. And really, if this stuff doesn't sound really easy to do, don't be doing the loops. Just stay with the regular Anchor Protocol. Do it one time and be happy you're getting that 19.5%. That's what we're saying. I just wanted you guys to see what the more advanced stuff looks like. And we're not recommending it, especially if you're a newbie, at all. But I wanted you to see what the DeFi DGen world looks like. And we didn't even get into chasing yield farms or the more aggressive pools. And I definitely don't want to go there tonight, Lucky. But I just wanted people to kind of get a feel for what is possible in DeFi as well.
Thank you. It's really good information. I appreciate the education I'm getting.
It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Big T, who's up first, Winter or Ande?
They both kind of raised their hands at the same time, but we'll go with...
Who do we like more?
Ande was up. Ande was up first. I like Winter. I
think Adenzia was up first.
Yeah, Adenzia. Sorry.
Hi, guys. So I kind of wanted to go back to what we were speaking about before with the LTV and the loan-to-value ratio that we were talking about. I wanted to say one thing of there is a new thing for anybody that has Telegram. I don't know if you guys are aware, but there's like a new bot called the RB bot, and you can set it up on your Telegram account. So if your LTV is starting to get high, it will alert you, which is kind of nice because, you know, speaking to what you guys were speaking about, if in the middle of the night, all of a sudden Luna starts to go down, your LTV is going to go up. So that's kind of what everyone was saying of being in, you know, danger of when it starts to go up, when Luna goes down and you're sleeping, it's scary.
No, I love that. Because I have alerts all over my trading view, like literally lines, and it texts my phone.
Yeah, so that is a nice thing that I just recently, I think it came out recently actually, that I just got. And you can set up alerts to tell you different prices if Luna hits this point or if it goes down to this point, which is interesting. I also wanted to speak to what everyone was saying. If you are new to doing this, that I would not do it, because when I first got into Luna in the beginning of the year, had no clue about anything. I'm not financial, no financial background, just bought it because my brother-in-law recommended it, put a lot of money into it. At the time, they were giving you a lot of money to borrow. I ended up borrowing, loaning, doing everything. And then in May, when everything crashed and Luna dropped and everything happened, had no clue what was going on. Didn't know how to save myself, didn't know what liquidation was. And it was a very scary moment to watch your nice green LTV bar turn to red. So until you've had a little bit of experience knowing what you're doing in this method, I would not do it right away.
Thank you, by the way. Thank you for telling everybody. And I would agree, it's not a newbie strategy at all. And thank you for reminding everybody.
You weren't recommending it. I know that you weren't recommending it as that, but just because I had that personal experience, like now, you know, months later, like being able to be like, I know what I'm talking about. I know what a borrow and a repay and this, I feel comfortable doing it. And I think everyone on this call could get to that point too.
Right.
Just to dive right in, especially what our previous speaker was saying, in a time where things are a little wishy-washy.
Yep.
It's a little bit, you know, scary to not know what you're doing. And if it happens fast, it happens fast.
No, I think it's great. I appreciate you sharing that story with us, just so that everybody knows there it is real risk, and it's probably not worth it right this second.
Yeah, but what you guys were saying about just the borrowing the money and putting it in the urn is a safer method, because as long as you're familiar with, hey, I know if I have money in earn, I know where the repay button is. And if something happens and you're watching it, or you have your bot set up to tell you when things are, you know, in danger, you can easily go to your, you know, borrow tab, hit the repay button and throw that money back in there and you're safe.
Yeah. For the record, this guy right here, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go any further than the additional earn for me. That's enough for me.
Wait. You're not going to go any farther yet.
As of right now, till my friends corrupt me. Yes.
Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen in your future. it gets addictive.
All right. So winter is up, and thank you, Adenzia. Winter is up, and then our guy, Mr. O, after.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, people say, look, we're in a bear market. I think that is disputable. We're in a sideways market for most things. And Luna is in a bull market. If you look at the chart of Luna, it's up and to the right. And there's, you know, in almost any time frame, especially the longer ones, there's no bear market for Luna yet.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, there is such a thing as a bigger correlation in a risk-off environment. But I would say Big T, Lucky, we're all big fans of Luna, and we all believe it's a wonderful, wonderful coin and ecosystem. I don't disagree with that at all, and that's why I feel like I can recommend Anchor, is because it's built on that. Thank you, Mr. O.
No, I think you guys already said it. I don't even know why I raised my hand. I think you said it, Bloom, already. And what's her name? Finance Jed, I think, may have said something. Or maybe it was
Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony's, you're right. Lucky, and even yourself and Big T, you know, I'm on chapter one. By no means I want to get to chapter 40. And you guys are already in chapter 40. Lucky, as you know, Big T and Bloom, like, you guys have a finance background. I do not. And so I would probably want to echo that to the newbies like myself that are in the room that someone like Lucky, who's been doing this for God knows how many years, it's sort of second nature. So I'm going to take what he sort of spoke on. I already knew some of those steps, but I'm going to make sure I master. Well, there's a comfort level, obviously, right? Some sort of comfort that I go in knowing that I may lose and I'll be comfortable with that, be able to sleep at night. But no way I'm going to try to get to Lucky's level next week.
Yeah, it's gonna take all of us a little bit longer, right?
And Mr. October,
years.
You know, and for anyone listening, like, I'm here to help. So, like, everyone can be on their own journey, their own path, wherever you're at, even if you're step one or you're step 22. And I guarantee there's smarter people in the room than me on this subject. And I have no problem saying that. But I will definitely help wherever people need help. And if they feel like they want to go down this, you know, I'm always open to support and help you guys.
Appreciate that. And look, it's fun to do literacy stuff and it's fun to go degen. And we just want you to keep it simple because we know about all this other crazy stuff going on. And we're here just to teach you the right stuff in the right process. Okay. But thank you, Lucky. Alexander, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. Go degen. Good way to live the life on the edge. I'm just kidding, guys. Hey, so just on top of this, what we're discussing here, I just joined about 5 minutes ago, so I apologize if this was already covered. DeFi is like a metaverse within a metaverse, and it's amazing. It's phenomenal. The webs and interchange of chains over chains over chains and money over money over money, and it's the gift that keeps on giving, you know. But just to kind of put a perspective and put people at ease, sometimes all this stuff is very very new to a lot of people, and it's crazy because you're like, oh, it's intimidating and all that. But rest assured that if you start learning slowly and you start developing strategies and you start exploring the technology that is right in front of us for us to make it and to make big money, you're able to do so. And to touch up on the stablecoin staking protocols and all these other things, I don't know if this has been spoken about in the past, but in order for you to sleep at night, you got to have some sort of safety measures. You're like, oh, okay, you know, I need to watch my loan to value. I need to watch my liquidity pools. I need to watch my farms. I need to watch this and that. A lot of this dApps that are built on the Ethereum platform, on Luna, on Terra Luna, and all these other areas, Kava, Cosmos, there's an emerging competition out there for digital smart contract insurance. It's huge. One of the leading protocols is Nexus Mutual Protocol, NXM.
Okay, and I appreciate that.
It's too advanced.
Thank you, by the way. Thank you. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Listen, DeFi allows you to be your own bank, and, you know, we're just kind of keeping it, you know, reframing it and staying in this stuff. But I do appreciate that. And everybody is capable of that. So thank you. Big T, who's up next? Big T, I think I let another person up.
Yeah, it's
Arumi, maybe?
It looks like aneurysm.
Aruni's Ram. Yes, Aruni's Ram. How are you? What's up?
I'm good. How are you? My question was around the Ozone protocol. I know that the Anchor protocol was developing its own insurance product where you could buy insurance against. Like, I have a bunch of balance on there, but I never managed to. And I've been following it for a while, like maybe 8-9 months. Do you know, or if you have spoken about Ozone protocol and when insurance might be available on that platform at all, or is that out?
Yeah, I touched upon it. I didn't talk about Ozone specifically, but
okay.
There is a protect your deposit on the Earn tab specifically. Yep. And what I shared with individuals is if you want to save,
if you want to insure your dollars and lose 2 to 3%, there are mechanisms to do that. So I can still look at it as a 16 to 14%, you know, APY.
Yep.
So
makes sense.
And that's, it's a great call, because what I will say, you know, I want to make sure people understand, when you're in decentralized world, it's much, much riskier. Like, please hear me, right? Like, yeah, you own your own assets. You have your own private keys. If you get hacked, you're SOL. Like, I don't know how many times I can tell people that. So it's not like,
it's so important.
Hey, you're on Coinbase, right, and Coinbase got hacked, but they're insured, or Voyager's insured, and your money's going to be probably back. Like, it's a whole different world.
Yeah, yeah, you're, I mean, not getting the, sorry about that. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, no. I was just saying that I've usually spread all my dollars, just not on DeFi protocol, but also on multiple wallet kind of things, right? Like Celsius, Nexo, BlockFi. I know that some of them just lend to the same companies, but I'm hoping that by diversifying, I'm hoping that if the money goes missing, I'm not losing all my dollars because I lent it on one platform because of the interest rate.
I think that's very smart to diversify across and mitigate your risk. I think that's very heads up. I think, you know, look, the DeFi yield comes at the additional DeFi yield that you're grabbing comes with risk. And if you guys are hearing anything about the conversations, and I intentionally wanted to get into looping just to show you guys how dangerous it can be, and we didn't even get into the crazy stuff, but you have to be comfortable with the amount of risk that you're willing to take for the yield and know that it might not be worth it. And I hope that's part of the message tonight. You understand that. Whereas if you're in stable coins and you're staking on a centralized exchange, if you're in stable coins, you're using Anchor, you're not in the super high risk stuff. But if you start getting into looping and some of this other stuff and these yield farms, you're at risk for the coins. It can get bad quick. And I appreciate Denzia sharing her story, because it can happen. So risk is not free. And I just hope everybody understands that. And I hope we were able to echo that.
Yep. There's been a ton of protocols. Like, there was this, I think it was called the Home Protocol, OHM. The coin was basically a treasury coin. It just went from $10 or $50 to $1,500 last December. But you could not really farm on it because you were losing yield to the price increase. So the early stakers lost money. Even though the coin went up in value in ironical moves, it was hard to take the money out, and they were having negative yields while the coin went up in price.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Look, like, you know, Lucky does a lot of research in DeFi to find his projects to go and farm and whatever. And it takes that level of knowing the projects and knowing the math and knowing the APY versus the potential reduction in the coins to figure it all out. So I hope that's our message tonight. I hope everybody kind of hears that. Any other questions? Big T, what do you want to do here? We did 2 full hours. I am thrilled. I think this was phenomenal. I'm very happy.
Yeah, no, it went really good. I think we got our point across. We touched on CeFi and DeFi and the stable coins. I think we covered staking really good. We talked about some of the protocols that you can use. Talked about reflections and kind of how they differentiate from, interest and the differences between the two. I think we touched on the basics of looping really, really well. And I kind of wanted to kind of conclude this with, guys, you know, the DeFi is not a really that scary of a place when you're just dabbling into it, but you can really go off the deep end. And I'm not going to say it's like an addiction thing, because it's not. You know, you're going to play to your strengths, no matter what you do in life. But I would definitely recommend, you know, knowing that majority of the people in here are new, do not get into this stuff. Continue to show up to our spaces, ask questions, and continue to learn, so that way you can, you know, when the time comes, you can get into stuff like that. But no, I think Bloomberg, this is a really successful space again.
I was thrilled. And I'm just gonna call it out right now. This is one of the best crypto spaces. You know, you guys are all lucky to be here. We love doing it, but don't kid yourself. Nobody else is doing it this way. Everybody else is shilling their projects. Like, we're literally teaching it the right way, to protect you so that you can have a good first step into crypto. Nobody else is doing this, I'm telling you. I mean, Big T, you get it. I mean, you're doing it in VJX a little bit too. But nobody is dedicating it in this format the way we're doing it. Nobody. Am I wrong or am I kind of right? I don't know. All right.
But I'm trying to figure out all this channel is organized. Is there a YouTube? I just showed up and I started listening and tried.
All right. So here's what we're doing. Every Wednesday, we're doing crypto literacy here. Big T and his group of VJX Heroes, which are phenomenal. You guys should be following Big T, should be following Lucky. And these guys do a great job. They're on every day. They absolutely love it. And they're a phenomenal group. And they are phenomenal educators. They're absolutely brilliant people. You should be following them. I convince them to come with me every Wednesday. And I pick the subjects and they support me. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have them. But don't kid yourselves, guys. This room should be 500 deep. So get your friends or I can't guarantee I'm going to keep doing it. And that'd be your loss. I just want to say that. I don't care. I'm going to say it. I don't care. Lucky, closing thoughts, please.
You know, I think it always goes back to what I always want people to be doing. Positive cash flow. Like, please, if you're not figuring out positive cash flow, start there. You know, analyze your expenses, see what you can save, make a plan, get to positive cash flow. Once you're at positive cash flow, we're just teaching the levers and mechanisms on what you can do. And we're trying to teach people so they go down the right path and they don't go into scams or rug pulls or things that they might not understand and then, you know, possibly hurt themselves financially with that money. And again, if you're positive cash flow and you know it's money you can lose, that's the mindset you need to go into. So I always like to start with the foundational pieces. But once you start learning how to make money on top of your money, and before you blink, it's 5 years, I guarantee you will thank yourself for taking the time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Big T, did you feel like you did closing thoughts? I think you might have, but I want to give you one more opportunity.
Yeah, no, I just want to say thank you for everybody for being here. You know, something I talked about in my spaces earlier today was this space. And I think we covered the topics really, really well. And I hope people that showed up tonight, you know, took some value away from it. And guys, I mean, Bloomer's right when he says, like, the reason there's not 500 people in this room right now is because everybody wants to live in an echo chamber and tell each other how great they are. but the reality is that, like, there's more important topics to discuss. And people who, you know, surround themselves with people who are going to bring them up and continue to grow together are ultimately going to be more successful in this space. But no, I just want to say thank you, everybody. And I love being here.
Thank you. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to call it out right now. I want to really get into the pros and cons of NFTs next week. I want to really break down communities. I really want to talk about it. I feel like a lot of people are in denial about NFTs, and I won't get into it. But here's my issue. And Big T, tell me if I'm crazy, and I might be. I don't want to start the room unless we have 100 people. Is that fair or is that wrong?
I don't know. My honest take is it doesn't matter how many people are in the room. It's about the knowledge that they take away. So that's up to you.
All right. I'm with you. But it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And actually, for next week's subject, I had a friend that stopped in here that I followed recently, and we've kind of talked a little bit, and they've got a pretty decent following, and they're wanting to dive off the deep end with us in NFTs.
All right. So I just want you to know I appreciate everybody, and I'm not complaining. I'm so happy to do this every Wednesday. I just bring your friends. Let's get this thing where it should be. I appreciate all the speakers coming in. This was such a fun space. I was so looking forward to it. Lucky, thank you for helping me on some nuances. I learned a lot as well, and I think that's what it's all about, right, guys? We're all still learning, and I think DeFi is just an amazing space. So God bless. Appreciate all of you. I hope you enjoyed it. Follow Big T, follow Lucky, follow me, you know, and do us a favor, like get on Twitter a little bit and tell everybody how great the space was. All right. If you could do that for us, if you don't mind. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night. All right. Cheers.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Bloomer Space Stablecoins, Staking, Protocols, Reflections, and Looping, Episode 3. Recorded on Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. This episode of the Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus is dedicated to providing artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Find your next favorite artists on talus.art. Terra Spaces would like to thank Talus for their support. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Gotta keep it rolling like a Tesla makes me. Wanna puke my brains out all over these pastries. I'm just trying to lay here and be all lazy. Please tell the drugs they don't need to chase me. So get laced and start your pacing. Color me impressed with all this crazy. I don't wanna be crass, but baby, I'd give my right nut for one of them Dre beats. Or maybe get dressed up all mainstream. Run for office and empty your savings. Trying to get paid in rustic cravings, brainwashed blame game, picking up ratings, getting all berated like madmen ladies, hating on everything great from the 80s. Lately, the bait's been looking angry, dainty, till you see what they dangling. Hanging off a stick, shape of a ghost to haunt your crib, raking in the most without boring me. Just another day in the life of a quarantine. Props to everyone who ever wrote to me. Feet opening through a new wave of growing pains. Best case, they never even notice me. Slipping a fast one into the closest gene. Stick another chicken in the crisper. Whisper the magic words and listen for the whimper. The simpler the better, so buy the dip. Blindfold on tight, ghost ride the whip. Straight at another ghost ship. Let's see what the goats win when you get tossed in the ocean and you don't swim. Not what I was hoping. Going nowhere fast, lost in the potion.
There is nothing more foreseeable as a public health crisis for, again, a world where we're just living on top of each other in crowded and polluted cities than a pandemic. Every academic, every researcher who's looked at this knew this was coming. And in fact, even intelligence agencies, I can tell you firsthand because I used to read the reports, had been planning for pandemics. And yet, when we needed it, the system has now failed us. And it has failed us comprehensively. And the thing that I find grotesque about this situation is that now the people who are being asked to sacrifice the most are the people who are in the most precarious positions, who have the least to give. We're constantly being told we're the richest
country. Terra Spaces.